Welcome to the Joy Felipe Bruce Podcast. Sister Joy Felipe is a daughter of Bishop Dyke Heward Mills and the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Cathedral of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. The Fountain of Life Cathedral is a thriving church of young, energetic people full of life for the Lord. Sister Joy is also an itinerant minister of Dyke Heward Mills Ministries. She travels extensively, holding pastors' conferences and bringing ministry-related books by Bishop Dyke Heward Mills to the nations. She is the evangelist of the Blessed Salvation Crusade. Now be blessed and refreshed as you listen to this inspired message by Sister Joy.
Excited to be in church.
Psalm 119 verse 130. Can we have it up? The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Hallelujah. You see, have you ever tried walking in darkness before? How many of you have been in your room and then, as usual, ECG will take the light and you are trying to move from your one side of your room to the other side? How many of you have been there before? And suddenly you realize that you are not able to move much. Why? Because there is no light. And if you try moving, you can easily start to, you know, hit yourself against the wall or the bed or anything in your room. That is exactly how your life is if you don't have the Word of God guiding your life. And this morning we are about to be ministered to by an anointed servant of God who is bringing us the Word of God. And if only you will receive the Word into your spirit, if you receive the Word into your spirit, you will have light and you will be guided in every single aspect of your life. Hallelujah. So I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to get your hearts ready and I want you to put your hands together as we welcome to this international pulpit our one and only shepherd, our prophetess, he is joy.
Grateful for a day like today. Thank you for bringing us to church. Thank you that in the midst of all plans, in the midst of everything, Lord, we just recognize your goodness to us. We're grateful. And as we gather this morning, let your word reach us on the inside. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you. Take your seats. Wow, are you glad to be in church? It's very, very important. Amen. It's important to be in church. It's important to fellowship. Are you there? Yes. Let me show you a scripture in Hebrews 10:25. It's not part of my preaching, but I'm just, you know, Hebrews 10:25. Look at it. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. When we assemble ourselves together, what do we call it? What do we call it? Yeah. And the instruction, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Hey, ask your neighbor, are you one of those who's in church regularly? You see, we've grown up going to church. You can easily think that, oh, it's just something we do. But I just wanted you to know that it is an instruction. It's a biblical instruction that don't neglect the assembly. Are you here? Hey, the way you are dull this morning. Small cold weather, no, you are like a lizard that has no warmth. You know, lizards are cold-blooded animals, so they need the heat. Please, can you ask your neighbor, are you a mammal or a reptile? What did your neighbor say? Hey, is the reptiles that need the warmth to be alive? Then tell your neighbor, show that you are a mammal. Mammals, our own heat is okay for us. Abba! They are like, oh, I'm feeling cold. Oh. Hallelujah. Anyway, so the scripture says, don't forsake the going to church. Are you there? Is it a good instruction? So now you know that it's not just, something that we do. Let me show you an even more interesting scripture. 1 John chapter 1. Let's go to verse 7. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The first sign of approaching darkness in your life is when you cannot fellowship with other believers. It's true. It's true. Yeah, so you discover that sometimes things can happen and you don't want to fellowship, you don't want to come to church. It's a sign of approaching darkness. Hey, oh, you can't see the scripture. Can we see it in the NLT? Some people say they don't understand this English. So let's go. Verse 7, please. Verse 7. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. So to not have fellowship, it is darkness. And you discover that as soon as you start to backslide, one of the things that is affected is your fellowshipping with other believers. You see, you give it a nice name. Oh, I'm very busy. I'm very busy. I'm just trying to finish my project. My course has become very difficult. Please, please, please. Tell your neighbor, please, 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 please. Please, please. It's backsliding that you are backsliding. It is light that is going them. Amen. Are you understanding it? And that's why no matter where you are, you must be among the fellowship of the believers. Amen. Are you in the church or you have traveled? I can't remember going to a country and not going to church. I will go to church. Are you there? Yes, I will go to, I must fellowship among the believers. It is the sign that there is light in me. So when you go to a country and you are 3 hours away from the nearest church, don't come and give us a sermon that you can't go to church. After all, if somebody was 3 hours away calling you for money every Sunday, you go. So get up early, climb the train and go. It's the sign of the light in you. Hey, church is very quiet. Many of you are coming to church because it's convenient. It's just a walk away. It's just one bus away. The test is coming. Push your neighbor and say, the test is coming. The test is coming. When you have to rise up early and pay some dollars, some pounds, or some yen, or some... What other money again? Some CDs. You have to pay something to go to church. Pay it and go. Because it's the sign of the light in you. Hallelujah. Please, I don't know who I'm preaching this preaching for. It's not in my notes. It is not my topic today at all. But I think it's just to... Yesterday, last Sunday, we had a lady here all the way from Nicaragua. Yes. I had never met her before. I know her husband. And her husband called me. He said, my wife is coming. She has not been to Ghana for years. Please, help her to get to church. You, if God makes a mistake and sends you to Togo. Togo. Honey, I don't know if you go to Nicaragua. She was traveling for 3 days. And she arrived in Kumasi and came to church. You would say, my back is paining me. I don't know who this sermon is for. It's not in my notes. But I think the Holy Spirit is talking to somebody. Maybe somebody is about to travel. You're about to travel and he's giving you the advice before you go. Your hand is up, that what? I'll say it later. I'll trick you when I come down. Hallelujah. Amen. Today, and in fact, this month, we're going to be talking about a great change. A great change. Seven principles of a great change. Hallelujah. Are you there? Have you changed or not? You know, life is made up of changes, for good or for bad. Yes. You know, if you compare yourself now to your JHS picture, is it the same? Some of you will not even recognize you. Are you there? Some people, is the coming and the doing of their hair that has made them look like human beings. So, Niger. Ask your neighbor, what did you resemble? What did you resemble some years back? Hey! Some of the brothers who are moving around feeling so good, you were like a little string. But a change has come upon you. That is a physical change. Are you there? Now, in the same way, you know, spiritual things mirror, or I should say, physical things mirror spiritual things. Are you in the house? And so when you get born again, you know, we've been on this topic for, in fact, this year we've really preached this topic. Started the academic year with it, and we are ending the academic year on it, you know. But it should tell you something about how important it is. It's not enough to just be born again. Ghana is full of a lot of people who have given their lives to Christ. We also have a lot who don't know Jesus, but we have a lot too who know him. Are you there? Or who have given their lives to Jesus. But the change is not there. That's why even in this church, you cannot put your phone on the chair. Say, oh, I'm just going to pay my tithe. So I've left my phone on the chair. Are you there? Why can't you? Because there's a thief in church. And the thief may be you. Please, Lady Reverend is correcting me that there are thieves. So it's not only one. One Sunday we came to church. Somebody was here, in the corner, here. And the person put down his phone that, let me do something, here, in the corner. When he turned around, it was gone. What does it mean? That a born-again thief came to church. Are you here? Some of you, this past weekend, when there was the carnival up there with whatever his name is, you were there. What was the guy's name? Medical. You were there. Under the guise of darkness, you were there. And this morning, you are here. Maybe you have even sung in the choir this morning. Maybe you even prepared some of the communion for us yesterday. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. Are you there? And the reason is because nothing has changed. You've given your life to Jesus Christ. Your spirit is new. You know the picture. But the rest of you is the same. And it should not be. And that's why we're talking about seven principles of a great change. When I got born again, I knew that things had to change. But I didn't know how to change them. And I set about reading the Word of God. And as I read the way, I was shocked. I was shocked because I found so many things. So many helpful things. Are you there? Yeah. I found a lot of things. I found that in Matthew chapter 6, I was being told that God knows my issues. He knows my issues. I found out that he said I shouldn't behave like an unbeliever. But if I seek first the kingdom, he will give me everything. He said that, look, the sparrows, does God not care for them? Am I not more than that? He says, look at the flowers of the field, the lilies of the field, how they grow. And yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not as beautiful. I found so many things. And I began to change. Are you in the church? Yeah. A person who we know in the Bible who really changed was Saul, Paul. Paul wrote most of the Bible, and we know him as one of the very prominent disciples. Hello? Let's try and count the books he wrote. Some say he wrote the book of Acts. I don't know. I'm not a theologian, but some say he wrote it. I don't know whether it's true. But Romans, they say he wrote it. Are you there? What other books? Galatians. Okay, let's go systematically. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Colossians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Are you there? All were written by Paul. I thought this would be a very godly man. Are you there? I thought maybe he's an angel that has come down from heaven. But there's a scripture, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 23. It says, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. This is the description of Paul. The one who was persecuting believers. If you say you are a believer, no, he has tied your hands. They have arrested you. Oh, you are not seeing it. Yeah. And they said he preaches the faith that he once destroyed. What had happened? A great change had come over that man. He had an encounter. He met the Lord. He was converted. He gave his life to Jesus like you and I have given. And when he gave his life to Christ, there was such a change that it was seen. I want to ask you, since you gave your life to Christ, what has changed? Are you in the house? As you are in your house. Are you there? What are they saying about you in your house? Some of you in your house, they can't see any change, yo. Some of your roommates can't see any change. And that's why we must learn these principles. We must learn these things that are governing or showing us how to change. So principle number one. After you are born again, a great change will come into your life if you grow up spiritually. If. It's a big if. Are you there? So it's not saying that it will happen randomly. It says if you grow up spiritually. Let us go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Ask your neighbor, can we talk to you? Can we talk to you as if a spiritual person? But as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ, I have fed you milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Are you here? Yeah. Your spirit is a baby. And babies require milk. How many of you, when you were born, they started feeding you Cerebellar? Never. It's milk. It's milk. Are you there? That's the only thing you are able to handle. Even that, we cannot give you cow's milk. Yeah, you can't process cow's milk. We have to give you the milk of your mother. Are you in the church? That's why it's such a tragedy when a mother dies, when she gives birth to a newborn baby, because she needs milk. And Paul is saying that he has had to feed them with milk. He has had to give them some nice basic things because, Charlie, you can't chew the meat. Are you there? And he says, because if not, you can't bear it. You can't bear it. Are you in the church? There are three stages. I've shared this with you. I want to share it again because I want you, I'm not sharing for you to think about somebody. I want you to assess yourself. Exactly what am I? Exactly who am I? Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Desire the word that you may grow nearby, that you may grow thereby. I want to ask you whether you desire the word, whether you like the word. We'll come more into that. But for now, I want you to see that a newborn baby needs milk in order to grow. How do you know if you're a newborn babe? I mean, you may have been born again, how many years ago? 10 years ago, 5 years ago. But in the realm of the spirit, you are a day old. There's a man called Robert Sladon. He is the writer of the series of books, God's Generals. Yes, God's Generals. That guy was 8 years old, physical 8 years old, when he had a trip into heaven. He was the son of a godly woman and the grandson of a very godly grandmother. And those two women drilled the word of God into he and his sibling. Are you there? They really drilled him. So he was a young boy. He was 8 years old. And he went to heaven and he had an experience. He actually wrote a book about it. But when he got to heaven, he was told that in heaven, he's 33 years old. Are you there? Please ask your neighbor, what's your age in heaven? You may be 40 years old, but in the realm of the spirit, you are 2 months old. Yes. How will you know? Just by looking at how babies behave. How does a baby behave? Hey, the church is quiet. A baby cannot control itself no matter what. It wants to pee. Wants to poo. Or you don't see. Wants to sleep. Recently on the day of the concert, one of my granddaughters was sitting on me. Then the choir started singing. It wasn't dancing time. She just let off my... I was shaking herself. That's a baby. Oh, you don't get me. It's not dancing time. But she's dancing. After a while, she got tired. Then she started going back. Doesn't care what's going on. That's a baby. And some of you are like that. It's a spiritual baby. So you are in the church. You can't control yourself. Pornography is calling. Masturbation is calling. Fornication is calling. Zambia, I have to copy. Hey, you are a baby. You are a baby. Are you there? You are a baby. Stop blaming the devil. You are a baby. Hey, the church is very quiet. And the truth of the matter is that as far as society goes, babies contribute exactly zero. They don't contribute anything. They are just human beings. When we are counting, we'll count. When they are doing census, they'll take the census and group us into age groups. That's the only place that the babies will feature. And some of you, that's the only place you feature in the church. Contribution, nil. Take out your offering. Nil. Choir is singing. Nil. Praise and worship. Nil. Everything. Nil. Nothing. Many of you come to church at 9 o'clock. You are babies. 9 o'clock. Quarter to 9. 9 o'clock. 9:30. You see? And if I was to interview you, you would tell me that I've even got that you have come to church. You are a baby. If they are not here, tell them when they come. I say, you are a baby. That's why if even I protest, you will not understand. Have you seen a baby understand before? One of my grandchildren, she's very happy to be with you. She will play. She will run around. She will say that I should give her nail varnish. She will say that, what again? She will tell me that she wants to eat. She will tell me that she wants to watch. I've forgotten what she calls vegetables. She will be okay. But when she wants to sleep, I want my mommy. There's not her. There's nothing you can do about it. I want my mommy and I want my mommy now. Are you there? Some of you, that's how you are. You'll be in church. You'll sing the songs. You'll be happy, but we'll be there. I want to masturbate now. I'm in the church. The service has gone on too long. I have to go and sleep now. Hey, push your neighbor on the other side. Tell neighbor, this baby thing is new. We have seen you a long time. Hey, what is that? Now. That's the baby. Are you there? If I don't scroll, I can't live. I cannot live without my phone. That's a baby. That's a baby. Are you there? We are talking about a great change. So yes, you have given your life to Christ. But in the realm of the spirit, you're a baby. Hey, let's look at stage number two. Just like how babies grow to become children, that's how we also grow. What is the characteristic of a child? If there were children here, what would some of the characteristics be? They'll be running around. That's the principal sign of a child. It's not surprising, therefore, Ephesians 4:14. Ephesians 4:14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Cardinal sign of a child, to and fro. Are you there? You are in this church. We have not done you any bad. Then you go on Facebook. Then you hear somebody, and the person is talking. This church is a cult. Bishop Doug is like this. He's like that. Then you sit down there, then you say, I wonder if it is true. You are a child. You are a child. Are you there? Tossed to and fro. We have people who have left the church because, really? Hey, then I cannot be here. It's you who doesn't know what you're about. You don't know what you're about. The church is very quiet. You are a child. You are a child. Because if you were not a child, you would have a mind that works. Yeah. Oh, yes. Have you seen a cult that the doors are open before? Are you there? You see that you're very quiet. One of the well-known cults that we have is the lodge. Do you know what happens in there? You don't know. That's a cult. The door is shut unless you are inside and you belong there. So even your understanding of the word cult is not, is what's the word? Hey, this man, what do they say? Me, I don't listen to them. So someone has to give me the apple. He is what? Somebody said what? He's in it for the money. I don't even understand you. Somebody who could have been a doctor in Switzerland, what's he doing with your cities? You now, you're offering so much. How much? Even me that I'm a small guy in the streets, your offering cannot pay me. What will it do for anybody? The church is very quiet. Yeah. But because you are a child, you are affected. I'm just showing, you see, I'm taking my time to show you the distinctions. Because, young lady at the back on your phone, right? She can't even hear. Don't come here and you come and open your phone. Don't do that. Hey, that's a child or a baby. I don't know which. Yeah. Yeah, you're a baby. You don't even know what to do where. You have reached, you can't control yourself. Then you are a child, to and fro. Anybody can come and say anything about anybody. You can't even think for yourself. Can't even think for yourself. Somebody has to think for you. They are stealing your money. You now calculate the money that you give and see whether it is your money that's keeping us. What are you talking? Maybe you have been going to church in some village, but here, yeah, it's not like that. I have to say it, la. Let me continue. Are you there? Yeah. It's when you are a child that a boy will come to you and say, ah, you are so beautiful, you make my heart beat. When you are mature, small, no, you ask him that, how many people, this is your rap, how many people have you used it on? Tell him that rap is tired. Say that, oh, it's only you, it's you, and it's only you. If I did, look, I couldn't sleep because I was thinking about you alone. If you are standing or sitting by a mature girl, ask her, will you believe such raps? Such rap, will you believe it? Oh, you are the most beautiful girl in the world. Now lie! Now lie! Now lie! Even you know that your roommate is more beautiful than you. Oh, yeah. But you see, when you are a child, when you are a child, when you hear no, then you actually act on it. You actually act on it. Those of you who were here, we really enjoyed Friday night. It's a pity how often the Peter Lover kind of syndrome, you know, how it happens. The girl was in the house with her father. She really believed that that guy, the Peter guy, she believed her. She believed him. I'm going to pack my things and leave. You are a child. You are a child. Are you in the church? You are a child. And some of us in the spirit realm, we are children, tossed to and fro because you don't know what your Bible says. The only reason why you are a homosexual is because you are a child. If you were mature, you would know what the Bible says about the origins of homosexuality. You won't come and tell us that you were born a homosexual. No matter what any non-God-fearing psychologist or psychiatrist or whatever God has told you. You will not believe it. You will not believe it because you will open your Bible and see it there. What resulted? What was the cause of homosexuality? See, you're looking at my face. Go and look right in your Bible. Your child won't come your Bible into as they come and tell you that, oh, you, the way your hips are, you are a girl. You now, you can see what's dangling in front of you. You say because of your come on. Come on. Oh, I'm confused about whether, let me tell you something. It is normal in the growth of a child that a time comes when they are fascinated with their bodies. That's why almost every girl has gone through a tomboy stage. I don't want to be a girl. Now, if at that stage, then somebody has come tell you that you are, oh, please. Please. Just leave it, it will go. The same way it came, that's how it will go as you grow. Have you seen that you are quiet? They say, look at your hips. So you two, you are now standing and watching your hips in the mirror. Then now you are watching all the other men. Then you realize that their hips are not like mine. Perchance, you are a child, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine. Are you in the church? Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. Because when you are mature, somebody has come, a new prophet has come under the tree. So what should I do? What has it got to do with me? A child, every random prophet has a word for you. You are lost. Hey. And so you've got to grow. Amen. Are you there? You have to grow. The principle says that if a great change is to happen, it says after you are born again, a great change will come into your life if you grow up spiritually. From today, I want you to don't focus on your issues and your problems. Focus on growing spiritually. Do you understand? I think I've said it here before. Don't focus on the fact that you have been fighting against pornography. Don't focus. Focus on becoming. You see, when you focus on being spiritual, one day you wake up and say, ah, I don't even remember the last time I was tempted to go to BigMama.com. Or I can't even remember the link. Are you there? Because you are focused on growing spiritually. Hallelujah. Let me give you principle number two. I'm shocked at how time is going. Now, we're getting into the meat of it, how to grow. After you are born again, a great change will come into your life if you renew your mind with the Word of God. If you renew your mind with the Word of God. I'm asking Sherelisa to sing a song for us because some of you don't know that that song is a scripture. As she's singing, just watch the scriptures. Don't drown her out, just measure it.
Hey. I do not conform to this world. But be transformed by the word. By the renewing of your mind. That ye may prove that the word is good, acceptable, is perfect, is the will of God. Brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your only reasonable service. I am a Christian who really loves the Lord. I'm going everywhere, working, working for the Lord. Let me explain myself. It is my reasonable service, my reasonable service to the Lord. I am a Christian who loves the Lord. I'm going everywhere, working, working for the Lord. Let me explain myself. It is my reasonable service, my reasonable service to the Lord. Up everything for Jesus. Don't hold back anything. It is your reasonable service. Give it up all for Jesus. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Go anywhere, to anything, because you love the Lord. Yeah. I am not ashamed of my reasonable service. I am not ashamed of Jesus Christ saving me. He has been good to me. It's only reasonable to give him my all. I am a Christian who loves the Lord. I'm going everywhere, working, working for the Lord. Service to the Lord. And be not conformed to this world.
Be not conformed to this world.
But be transformed by the word.
Be transformed by the word.
By the renewing of your mind.
The renewing of your mind.
That he may prove that the word is good,
acceptable, it's perfect, it's the will of God.
I am a Christian who really loves the Lord. I'm going everywhere, working for the Lord. Let me explain myself. It is my reasonable service, my reasonable service to the Lord. I am a Christian who loves the Lord. I'm going everywhere, working for the Lord. Let me explain myself. It is my reasonable service, my reasonable service to the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. I hope the choristers knew that they were singing scripture, or you were just singing. Are you there? Yeah. And so it is the changing of your mind. How does it come about? Through the word of God. So let us go to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm just going to be reading some scriptures to you. And as I read those scriptures, I want you to see how it's going to work, because the scripture says that you must be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Are you there? When you come onto campus, it's your mind that is worked on to make you whatever, an engineer, political scientist, or whatever. In the same way, your mind needs to be renewed when you become a Christian. And the Bible is full of chapters that tell us how to behave, what to do. One of the excellent places is Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll be reading from verse 22 down. Let us take, you see, these words, and when we put it, people just sit here, they don't know it's real English. So let's go to the NLT so that you understand it. Throw off your old sinful nature. Throw it away. Throw it away. Are you there? That's why when you keep going clubbing and you keep going to certain places, it's a problem to you. It says, throw it away. Throw away your former way of life. It's an instruction. Can you see it? Why? Because it's corrupted by lust and deception. What goes on in those places that you go to? Is it not deception? Is it not deception? Are you there? Recently, your SRC invited somebody. Every time when they invite those people, when you go following morning, the cleaners are sweeping. There are condoms used. Plenty. Yeah. You see, somebody has deceived somebody. And he says, instead of that, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Have you read the scripture before and used it to do anything in your life? You don't come and tell me that I've read it before. You've read it before. Where is it active in your life? See your face. Don't come in. Pastor, why are you insulting us this morning? Just makes me happy. So it says, instead of that, renew your thoughts and attitudes. So there are some attitudes you shouldn't have. Are you there? Nobody needs to show. You know. Hey, let's continue. Put on your new nature, created to be like God. Truly righteous and holy. So you now, you should look at some things and say, this thing, it doesn't fit who I am now. This dress, it doesn't fit who I am now. This behavior doesn't fit who I am now. Anyway, it gets more explicit. So you, let's continue. So stop telling lies. Have you seen our problem in Ghana? The scripture is there, but we don't know. Or we don't do. I don't know which one. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. For we are parts of the same body. The way some of you can lie to us. I have been a pastor for a long time. Many times I've been sitting down there and somebody is spinning a story and the Holy Spirit just tell me, nah, lie. And I just watch you. Just watch you spinning your story. Say, stop. Stop. You want to change? Stop lying. People who copy during exams, they are liars. In fact, they are thieves. And we have a whole generation of, from your teachers, teachers from BEC level, all the way through SHS, complete with headmasters, teachers, they should come and take me on any day. Liars. Have you seen that you are quiet? As you have seen yourself in it, you know? Don't waste your time judging yourself. Just change. Exams are a few days away. Start working. How? Continue, verse 26. When I finish this scripture, I'll finish preaching. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. Are you there? You know, this particular verse, I like the way the King James puts it, because it says, be angry but sin not. Don't sin. Are you there? Yesterday night, First Love Center, in the evening, a pastor called Pastor Kong Hee was preaching. Yeah, Kong Hee from Singapore. He was, in fact, I have to send them, the title they give the message is not correct. The man preached zero anger. And he spoke about how he was a hot-tempered person. Small no, in fact, he said at a point, his wife told him that nobody can work with you. Blasting everybody. Because he felt that he's a mega church pastor. And before he knew it, based on his anger, so many pastors who had come to learn from him had also adopted that method in handling their church. It was a whole something, you know. And he talked about how he had to learn zero anger. Are you there? Zero anger. Yeah. Zero anger. I'm talking to somebody. Yeah. And then he says, let not the sun go down, turn to the NLT, upon your anger. I know a young man, when he learned the scripture and he was practicing to put it into practice, he set an alarm on his phone. His father was the one who told us the story. And the father said, every day, around 5:30, quarter to 6 in the evening, the son's alarm will go. Ping! What are you setting this alarm for? I mean, we know alarm to wake up in the morning. What other alarm do you have? Some of you have alarm to study. Some of you have alarm to do what? I must, whatever. But that 5:30, what alarm do you have at 5:30? You know, it's an odd time. So one day the father asked him, but this is your alarm that goes off at this time. What is it? Then the son told him, the Bible says I should not allow the sun to go down on my anger. So at 5:30, I do a quick check in my mind. Who have I been angry with during this day? Me and who have quarreled? And I use the 30 minutes that is left to sort it out. So that by the time the sun goes down, I have no anger issues. You know, I think that child is to be commended. I'm not surprised he's a man of God today. I'm not surprised. Yeah. Don't let, if only we obeyed this scripture. Some of you have been annoyed with your roommate from the beginning of the year. You don't know that because of your anger with your roommate, you are on your way to hell. You don't know. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. You don't forgive, you are not forgiven. So if you are not forgiven, we cannot accept you into heaven. That's why people do wrong things and then they come and say, Mommy, forgive me. I say forgiveness. No matter what, I say forgiveness. It's free. And my reason is I don't plan to go to hell on anybody else's ticket. Hey, if I don't forgive you, then it means my sins will be piling up. You'll be there and not forgive. Hey, but my roommate, every day they have been eating my meat and all that. You see? So you go to hell because of that. Come on, be serious. And look at it. I like the verse 27. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. You don't know that as you are busy strutting around in your holiness and highness, you have actually opened the door and Satan has walked in. I came to inform you this morning that Satan, when he's coming, he doesn't need you to give him a chair. He brings his own chair. And you have opened the door for him. What? He will move in together with his, and he doesn't walk alone. He says, anger. Oh, you're not seeing it. Is it not scripture we are reading? Is your mind about anger not changing? You see, you are very quiet. But as you are reading, what is happening? Your mind is changing. Your mind. That's why there will be a great change. That's why there will be a great change. Because some of us, we're even proud of our anger. Hey, media, don't cross me, oh. Don't cross me. If you cross me, you will smell pepper. How deal with, you see? Verse 28, we are coming to the thieves. You know that lying and stealing their brothers. If you are a thief, quit stealing. It's an instruction. Just stop. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. So that's another thing. Work hard. Can you see that is instructing us how to behave? Work hard, all lazy bones. Ask your neighbor, you a lazy bone. Lazy bones. You can even watch the choir and see the lazy bones. They can't move. Can't move. You watch the dancers, you see the lazy bones. But you see, don't shout too much, because you who's neither choir nor dancer, it's only that we can't see your own, but maybe it is even worse. So don't condemn them. Hey! I'm reading for you. Instead, it says, use your hands for good work and then give generously. Amen. Give what? We shouldn't have to give you whole sermons before you give. Oh. Next one. Don't use foul or abusive language. Some of you swear words, foul language. You came from the gutter. You have brought the gutter language with you. Hey, listen. I'm very serious about what I'm saying. You know? I'm very, very serious. Because you see, I learned how to behave from the scriptures. Yes, I came from a proper home. When I finished coming from a proper home, when I learned, left the house, I taught myself all the things I shouldn't learn. You see, on campus, we were only 5 girls in the middle of 54 boys. You must know that we didn't have peace. We didn't have peace at all. So I learned, you fire one, I fire one. You fire two, I fire two. So by the time I was getting born again, my language was the language of a siwa rat, not the language I learned in my house. Do you understand when I say the language of a siwa rat? You are looking at me, you are like, you are coming here, you are here, you are coming from Choco. You are coming from Kejetia. You are coming, where you come from? You now. One day somebody, some boy being in the house was harassing my sister-in-law and she was exchanging. So I told her, I said, I beg you, eh? I said, don't exchange. I said, this guy, he's from Bukom. If you exchange insults from him one day, he will apply an insult you cannot reply. I was there the day when the fight escalated and I came and met my sister-in-law crying. I said, what is it? He said, Papa, this is what it is. I said, I told you, boy from Bukom. So where you come from, crack, and even give you words. You see, Sunday morning, you come looking very nice, but that's not how you are. That's not how we are. How are you there? But when you are reading the scripture and then you see such a, it says, don't do that. Don't use it. You begin to talk to the Lord. Because to change it, you need the help of the Holy Spirit. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes. Let everything you say be good and helpful. You see how the room is quiet? Hey, what is the last, when is the last time you said something good to somebody? Something helpful to somebody. Are you there? So that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Some of you are a leader, but you can't encourage anybody. And you wonder, if people are some way. If people are not some way, you are some way. What kind of leader? You are never satisfied. You can never. You say, I'm addressing from the pulpit, so nobody knows who it is. If it is you, smile, just look straight. But you're always saying that, hey, The people are like this, but you never have anything good to say. One day, a certain man's son, you know, in the U.S., very often when the children get to the graduation of high school, the parent will find some okra and buy for you, isn't it? And I mean, they need it. No, they are. No, for them, it's actually a need because in most parts of the U.S., they don't even have public transport. So most of the time, well, everything, the parent has to drive you there. So usually by the time you are finishing. Now, this man had a son who never did all the things that the young people do. And he was blowing it in school, doing very well. So when he finished school, he asked his father for a car. And his father said, oh, no. Fortunately, a friend of the father was there. So after the young guy, very sadly, moved away, then the friend asked him that, do you know what the son of this our friend did? Do you know the son of this our friend? Do you know the son of this one? You have a good one. I say, you don't make it pay to be a good son. Do you understand what he's saying? In other words, now that you have an opportunity to reward the young man, you're not doing it. And some of you as leaders, you're like that. When the person does well, you don't have anything to say. But as soon as something is happening that is not, then you jump on it. Let me give you a rule, something that will help you. Let me give you a rule. It is the one who praises who has the right to correct. So if you have not said anything good, be quiet. Be quiet. Are you there? Say something good. Say something good. You see, sometimes you are hard-pressed to find something good to say. But as soon as you have something good to say, say it. Hey, the church is very quiet. Oh. Yeah. Oh. Wow. Where were we? We're going up to verse 32, so I better get on with it. Please take me to 29 so I can pick my thread up again. Okay. And it says, your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. That's why even when you send me results that are not good, I never tell you, foolish girl, foolish boy, why have you brought me this? No, it's true. If I have sent you such a come and stand here and say, never, never. Sometimes when I cannot praise the results, I'll just tell you, thank God there was no F. Now, this semester is another opportunity. I will not discourage you. You see, I will not discourage you because I don't think it works. I don't think it works. Are you there? Yeah, they are beating you in the house, and you are still getting these marks. Verse 30. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. This scripture, it has been written for me this morning. When I think of you jamming at places, I'm so sad. I'm so sad. And why am I sad? Because, please, I'm not the Holy Spirit, I beg you. But even me as a human being, I'm like, hey, one day you grow, one day you grow up and you are going to see that I made a mistake. You see, because if you were not living that lifestyle, some of you, your marks cry would have been different. And therefore, your future would also have been different. Yeah. By the time you finish sleeping with so many guys, at a point, the regret catches up with you. By the time you finish sleeping with so many girls, today you think that it makes you something. But one day you realize that it is null and void. It is the qualifications of a billy goat. Can't use it for anything. Can't use it for anything. What was the use of it? I came to campus, and when I was on campus, I slept with 200 girls. Number one, and so what? Number two, how many diseases have you carried? Number three, what does it mean for your next relationships? Number four, how is your life going to pan out? Because you don't know how to stay with one person. What have you done to yourself? But even more important, there is a Holy Spirit. And he was standing by and he was watching you do all those things. He tried speaking and you shut him up. And because he's not the devil, you know how I wish at times that the Holy Ghost will use some macho tactics. Hey! Hold you on the neck. But Charlie, he doesn't do such things. Remember, he has identified you as his own. As you are walking, you are a prince, you are a priest. You are a princess of the kingdom. You are what? What's the opposite? Prince of the kingdom. For a moment, my English failed me. How come you are walking like that? You are walking like something that has just come that doesn't. Oh! Says he has identified you. He has put, the Bible says that he has marked us, Ephesians 1, with his seal. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, even when you haven't done anything, he has put a seal upon you. This one is for me. It's a very important seal. The church is very quiet. Are you there? I tell you, I have gone to places in this world and been treated as if I am a major person. Because who? The seal of my bishop is on me. Just because I've gone in his name. So I'm about to talk to Bishop Doug. He says I should come and, hey, all protocols will be observed. How much more when you have the seal of the Holy Spirit? Come on. Come on. Come on. Charlie, let me finish. More instructions. Get rid of all bitterness. Those of you who are bitter against your father. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Hey, but you don't know what my father... did you see the scripture? Never argue with the scripture. What you don't know is that the bitterness is a poison poisoning your life. People like to say that, but so. You see, as you are watching, your bitterness is not poisoning the person who hurt you. Who is it poisoning? Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Hey, the word is working on us today. Verse 32. Then it tells us how to behave. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. And this morning, you take yourself before the presence of God and talk to God. Today, I want us to pray just one prayer. Lord, may I desire to know your word. Many Christians, you don't desire the word. That's why you don't read it. And because nobody can compel you to read it, you don't know anything. For some of you, this is the first time you are seeing the scriptures. You don't even know that they are there. Just say, Lord, help me to love you. Because if you loved the word, you wouldn't need me to come and read. Today, I've just read scriptures to you. That's all I've done. I've not preached. I've just read scriptures. Start to talk to the Lord. Help me to desire your word. Let me love your word. May my relationship to the word be such that I cannot go a single day without reading it. And when I read it, Lord, help me to do it. May I not just be a reader of the word. So may I love it, may I read it, and may I do it. Lift up your voice and pray.
Lift up your voice.
Lift it up.
Heavenly Father, may I love your word. Father, may I love your word. Lift up your voice and pray this morning. Oh, man, the breeze, kapaya, laba, shamanaba. And the breeze, kapaya, nama, shamanaba. Heavenly Father, your word may be
honey. Lift up your voice and pray.
Oh, man, the breeze, so paya, nama, shama, nama, shito, mama, mama. Oh, Lord, help us love your word. May we not go a day without your word. Father, help us love your word. Lift up your voice this morning and pray. That, Father, may I love your word. Father, may I love your word. Father, may I love your word. Oh, Lord, man, the breeze, kapaya, nama, shama, nama. Break up, patana,
as we are praying, we're just standing there, you know. But I want you to remember the number of times you started, I want to listen to the word. You started and you put it off. You say, I'm tired. Then you turn to scroll and you have been on TikTok for the next 3 hours. The number of times you've opened the Bible, if you even own one, and read it as your sleeping tablet. As you have read one verse, you didn't even finish, you were asleep. It's a demonstration, it's showing us something. I want you to lift your voice and pray. Let's pray. The prayer is, Lord, help me to love your word. Place in me a love for your word. Help me to desire your word more than anything, oh God. Help me to desire your word more than anything, Lord. May I desire that word, Lord. May I not be able to go a single day without reading your word. Lord, let your word be like life to me. Let your word encourage me, oh God. Let your word lift me up. Let your word help me, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh God, oh God, oh God. I pray, oh God, that Father will overcome the distractions, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh Lord, help us to be readers and doers. Readers and doers. Readers and doers. Put your hands on your head this morning. Father, as our hands are on our heads, we say, Lord, just baptize us with the desire for your word. Anoint us, oh God, with the desire for your word. Lord, may we be a people that if the word says it, that settles it. Help us to be doers of this word. Father, cause us not to be able to go a single day without reading your word. May we love it, love it, love it, love it. May we read it, may we hear it, may we listen to it, and may we listen again and again, oh God, that we will not be conformed to this world, but will be transformed into what you desire for us. In Jesus' mighty name. And all the saints shall say, amen and amen. And as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, before you can even acquire a desire for the word, you must first belong to the word. The Bible says Jesus is the word of God. You must belong to him in order to enjoy the word. You are here this morning, you've not given your life to Jesus Christ. I just want you to lift up your right hand where you are. I'm about to pray with you. Just lift up your hand. I don't want you to think about anybody, left or right. You just lift it where you are standing and let the ushers and the pastors help you. God bless you. God bless you. Let the ushers and pastors around you, let them help you. Please come to me this morning. Just come. We're going to pray a prayer. Don't worry about who is near you, around you. God bless you, my brother. Just come. Just step out of where you are. Just come. Just come very quickly. We have just prayed that you'll be a doer of the word. And you have seen that I don't know Jesus. I've not given him my life. Come. Come and join us here. We're going to pray a quick prayer. Just come. Your heart is beating within you. It's a sign. Jesus is knocking at the door. Just come. Oh, yes.
Let him have.
Step out of where you are and come. Just as you lift your hand, somebody will help you. They'll approach you and you can come and join us. Just for the next minute, come. Oh, give him your life.
Give him your life.
Just step out and come to
him. Give him your life.
Brother, I want you to just pray this prayer after me. Make it your prayer. And everyone, just join us and help us. You want to say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today as a sinner. Please cleanse me from my sins. Please write my name in the book of life. Lord Jesus, from today, may I love your word. From today, may I be your servant. And from today, may you be my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe that you have been blessed by this message. For more information, you can follow us on Facebook, Fountain of Life Cathedral, and on Instagram and Twitter at FOLCIUDIASE. God richly bless you.